So if you could open up your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20, we're going to look at the third commandment tonight. So I'll read it in a bit, but let me just pray as we look at this passage. Lord, we pray. Thank you for that King of glory, the name that is above every name, Jesus Christ, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And Lord, we do pray you'll give us alert minds now. Give us sensitive hearts to respond to your words. We pray that we leave here knowing just how practical this third command is, not to misuse the name of the Lord. Lord, we pray that we will leave here today and that name just being a little bit more precious to us, that name being a bit more adored by us because of fruit from this evening. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, there should be a PowerPoint that comes up as well. Now, I wonder how many of you each and every week you come to church in the evening and you plan to get home for 8 o'clock. Reason being, well, I checked, the Antique Roadshow is on, isn't it? The Antiques Roadshow on, I think, BBC One at 8 o'clock tonight. So I'm sure that's lots of your plans this evening. To be honest, it's someone I used to watch with my nan when I used to visit her in Merthyr. Wouldn't choose to watch it. But she had the remote. I do get the appeal, to be honest. You know, people want to know if their jumble sale junk is actually ridiculously valuable. One of the biggest finds on the show after researching thoroughly this week, one of the biggest finds was a painting bought for about £400 and it ended up being valued at over £400,000. It's not a bad deal. One item was Churchill's top hat, with along with his famous cigars and a cigar case, apparently. And a person found it in a box at a dump, and it ended up being valued over £10,000. It's not too bad. It's also quite funny, isn't it, seeing people saying, oh, this is going to be worth loads, and it ends up as a fake, and to seeing their faces drop, that's also quite entertaining. But imagine it. Imagine it, that being yourself. Imagine you had that moment, something in your house, perhaps something forgotten in a loft, hidden in the garage, only for it to be worth something of huge value. I mean, if that were the case, your opinion of that item would change, wouldn't it? Massively. I didn't realise how valuable it was. And you'd look after it more carefully, treat it differently than you did before. I mean, that's the point, isn't it? How valuable something is changes the way that we treat that item, isn't it? And that's, in a sense, the idea behind this third command here. So Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, it says, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name." Now, I've called tonight's sermon, "What's in a Name?" Apparently, that was a quote from Shakespeare in Romeo and Juliet, apparently, "What's in a Name?" But names are important, aren't they? It's how we get someone else's attention. It's how we call someone, expecting parents, like Dan and Kath recently, search long and hard, expecting parents to find the perfect name for their child. And now, talking about names, I know a lot of you know this, but some of you might be surprised. My first name's not actually Lloyd. My middle name's Lloyd. My first name's actually Ellis. Correct, Ellis. So, and Ellis, apparently, researching what the name means, Ellis apparently means kind and benevolent. I'm all right with that. That's fine. And it's a bit better than Lloyd, which apparently means grey-haired. I wonder if you know what your name means. I tried to figure out. I knew a lot of families were going to be away tonight, so I was thinking, who's going to be here tonight? I can pick on their name. Mary's here. You know what your name means? Beloved. It means beloved. So that's a lovely one. I was hoping Derek was going to be here because the meaning of his name is awesome. Derek means people ruler. There you go. Ruth, companion, friends. So very aptly named. Linda, we've got two Lindas here tonight. Apparently your name means pretty. Although there is a South African translation which means the word wait in terms of waiting for something. Not wait as in heavy. Waiting like waiting at a bus stop. Anyway, but there's some here. I'm guessing you don't even know the meaning of your name. But names do mean a lot. And perhaps if someone accused you of something false, that you would say, I want to clear my name. Perhaps if someone does well in life, we say they've made a name for themselves. Names mean a lot now, but they're actually far, vastly more important in the Old Testament, during Bible times. Names are hugely important. Actually, words had a lot more weight then than they perhaps do now, where words are taken quite lightly. And this is even more true with God, because God chooses a special name for himself, to sum himself up. And so what we're going to do throughout this time, I've got 2 points. The second point, I've got some quick sub-points as well. But first point is, why is God's name important? Secondly, what does it mean to misuse it? So as you see, first point, why is God's name important? So it's probably wise to read that verse again. So Exodus 20, verse 7. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. So we read there that the Lord there, when he's saying that, he doesn't simply mean the word God. We're not just talking about simply the word God. Of course, that can be used of the true biblical God, but we also know that that could probably be used of false gods, the gods of the other nations as well. So that's not the name that the Lord is referring to. So what does it mean? Well, remember when Moses, he fled Egypt, and he was told to go back to Egypt, wasn't he, to release God's people from slavery. So we see Exodus chapter 3, 13. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? Don't know if you found that verse odd before. Surely the Israelites know who this God is. It's their God. It's the God of their forefathers. But Moses, in a sense, he's asking for something a little bit different here. He's saying, what's something new I can tell the Israelites? What's a new revelation I can tell the people about yourself? It's about God doing something new. He's saving his people from slavery. He's showing his people something new about himself. The key idea, and if you're a note taker, I see some of you are, the key idea is this. God's name is tied up with what God does. God's name is tied up with what God does. So what does God reply? How does he want to be known? Well, Exodus chapter 3, 14 and 15. God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. So he reveals himself in this special name as I am who I am. I am. And in our Bibles, you probably know, but when you see the Lord, the word Lord in capital letters, that is the I am name for God being used. So it's probably pronounced as Yahweh. And this is what they're to call him from generation to generation. So why is it important? I mean, what does the name mean? We talked about our name meanings. I am who I am. Well, it's talking about God's self-existence, isn't it? His absolute independence. And later on, and then in Exodus chapter 6, we see that God said that Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, these really important Bible figures that we know about, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they knew God, didn't they? But they didn't know God as I am, Yahweh. But now God wants Moses, he wants God's people, the Israelites, to know him like this, because he's going to do something new. He's going to rescue them, because the way the men think of him is God's name is tied up to what God does. Exodus 3 is showing us that God is going to act, he's going to keep his promises. He himself, the Lord, Yahweh, the people will know this God that saves them as Yahweh, as the Lord. It's like saying, it's great we've got Paul and Elizabeth here tonight. I hope they don't mind me using, not them as an illustration, but Dan and Kath as an illustration. I didn't ask them, but we've known Dan and Kath a while, haven't we? We've known them separately. We've known them as Dan Crow and Catherine Evans. We've known them then as Dan and Catherine Crow, husbands and wife. Now we know them as Dan and Kath, father and mother. A new situation tells us something new about them, doesn't it? And that's kind of what we're seeing here. God doesn't become something new, but his people now see this different aspect of him. They will know him now as this covenant-keeping, redeeming, loving, rescuing God. And so the name is special, isn't it? The people were to think of God as this completely different to the other nations. All the gods in Egypt, he's completely different to them. This is a God who is faithful, gracious, and saving. The word doesn't simply imply God. What they were meant to be thinking was, when they said the word God, they were thinking, the God who's rescued me, the God who loves me, the God who saved me. That's what they're to think. God's name is tied up to what God does. And if that's what his name means, it's not a surprise then that we do hear that the commands of you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. It's special. It's showing what God does, his name. And this isn't unrelated to us. This is completely related to us, isn't it? If God's name was about his relationship with his people, Israel, then for us as Christians, Jesus now connects us in relationship to God. It's Jesus who brings us into relationship. So how we treat Jesus' name shows the kind of relationship that we have with him. And now, so when we say the name of the Lord, what we mean is Galatians 2 verse 20, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Is that what you think when you hear the name Jesus, the one who loved me and gave himself for me? It's a name that is special, a name that is above every name. And so thinking about the value of God's name, we're not talking about a nickname. It's more than just a name as well. His name talks about his commitment to you, that he loves you. His name talks about everything he has done to save you. So it's a name that has absolute supreme value. And so if that's why God's name is important, let's look at the second point. What does it mean to misuse it? So second point is, what does it mean to misuse God's name? Obviously, our translation here, we've got, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. We probably, if we think of the third command, we probably think of it as traditional way of translating it, don't we? You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And probably both, you could translate it as, you will not lift the name of the Lord your God up to be worthless. It's talking about something worthless. It's like you're carrying the name of the Lord, and the people are being told, don't use God's name in a worthless, empty way. Don't use it in an empty way. Why not? Because as we said, God's name is tied up to what he does. So that would mean not just to regard God as worthless, but to see the salvation he offers as worthless as well. God's name is tied up to what God does. And God's name should be precious because our salvation is something precious. It represents, his name represents everything that he has done for us. They are being warned, look, don't misuse this name. Because that will actually just show everyone you do not appreciate what he's done for you. So it's all about, this is talking about all our attitudes to God and the salvation he offers. Which means that when we do hear his name, or the name of Jesus, we don't just hear a name, we think about what he's done. And that brings about joy, thankfulness, and praise. If you think about it, there's the war in Vietnam. 31st of January 1986, in the town of Chau Dock. The town of Chau Dock was attacked. American boats were sent out to rescue the American residents living there and workers living there. And it turned out that they received word that there was one resident left in a house near the hospital. And it was a 24-year-old nurse called Maggie Francott. So there's Maggie Francott there. And she was stranded by herself. Her car was shot to pieces. Soldiers surrounded the house, some even in the house. A terrifying situation. And special forces were brought in. They went in by boats and eventually reached Maggie's location. And after a massive battle, eventually she was dragged out with an injured knee. She was carried to one of the nearby waiting boats. One of the main soldiers who was involved with the... One of the main soldiers involved was honoured with a special presidential citation. And then the captain of the PBR boat, which sped her away and rescued her and took her to safety from the town. He was a man called Lieutenant Buddy O'Brien. And he did even better than the other man. Because a year later, Maggie married him. How do you think Maggie would talk about her rescuers? Certainly the one she married. She wouldn't hear bad words said about them, would she? She wouldn't have taken what they've done for her so lightly and rescued her and then speak poorly about them. She would hold them in the highest regard and speak up for them if they were attacked. That's the idea here. We hold God's name in the highest regard because of who he is himself, but also what he has done for us. What he has done for us is so, so, so precious. We would never want to even hear someone speak badly of his name. So this command is a warning not to take God's name lightly, but not to take his salvation lightly. So we're just going to look at pretty much three things now before we close, saying perhaps we've looked at the theology of this, but what is this going to look like tonight when I get back home and watch TV, the Antiques Roadshow or whatever? How's it going to affect what I watch on TV? How's it going to affect when I get up tomorrow morning, go to work or just live life? How is this going to affect that? So we're going to have three quick sub-points now. So how does holding God's name so precious and so dear, how does it affect the way we speak? So first one is speaking his name. Because most of the time when we hear this command, we think it's talking about, okay, I better not swear. Oh yeah, it definitely has implications for swearing. Because if we spoke like that, it would show disregard for God's name rather than honouring it. But it's also more than just swearing. It says in Leviticus 24:16, anyone who uses the name of the Lord blasphemously is to be put to death. Blaspheming God's name is to be deliberately speaking bad of God, of the salvation he offers, to badmouth him, or to attribute what God has done, even worse, to Satan. It shows utter disregard for what he has done for us, and that is why the punishment was so severe, because it was a salvation issue. It shows a complete rejection of God and his salvation. And I know that sounds a negative, but the flip side of that, the positive side, means that if we speak of him, we speak of him who is one who is in a deep and meaningful way to us, whose salvation that he offers you is the most precious thing in existence. That you hear his name and you think, yes, that is infinitely valuable. And if you live like that, people will pick up on how important God is in your life. Maybe you've met someone, maybe it's even someone in this room, and you can just tell how important Jesus is to them. The way that they speak about God, there's that perhaps reverence, that awe, just that loving, humble passion for Jesus and what he's done. That when they speak about Jesus, you can tell they are speaking of someone who's really significant to them. Maybe you know someone like that. And as I'm saying this, I'm thinking of my granddad and Bamps. That's the right way to honour his name. We don't just think of swearing. It's the positive side. Seeing a name is so precious and valuable. It affects the way we speak. And when Jesus taught us to pray, he taught us to pray, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." It still continues now, but that also shows we approach someone as Father. We can have utter confidence with this name as well. A God who's so precious. So this does completely affect the way we talk about Jesus as well, doesn't it? It's his name that now sums up everything that God has done for us. It is in his name, the one name under heaven by which we're saved, that we are to speak of now. So our use of Jesus' name, does your use of Jesus' name regularly reflect what he's done in your life? That's how perhaps this command affects us speaking in his name. How does it affect us now gathering in his name? Second point, gathering in his name. This command completely affects how we gather together each and every Sunday. On a Sunday, not just on a Sunday, but midweek meeting this coming Wednesday, home groups, children and youth groups, even meeting another believer for a cup of coffee in town. It affects the way we gather. Because as we gather tonight, we're gathering in his name. We sing praises to his name. We call on his name in prayer. His word is spoken in his name. And so having a high view of God's name will affect literally every ministry that we do in the church. That's a challenge, isn't it? Viewing every ministry we do in the church because we hold his name so highly. If we have a high view of Christ's name, that will add weight and gravity to everything we do. If God's name is important to us, then every activity we do in his name will be important to us. That means, and I'm talking to myself here as well, it means we try and turn up on time at meetings because this time is important to us. It means we, I know it's going to be hard in the heat now, but it means we show concentration because his word is important to us. It means it affects how we sing songs. So often we sing songs with such a glum face. If we're singing praises to his name, praise is important to us. And this is awesome as well, because it means that our Christian gathering, our fellowship together, never ever needs to be somber, boring, or formal, because we're approaching a God whose name is never somber, boring, or formal. There is a weight and a purpose to every single gathering that we have as a church, because we're doing it in his name. That when we're singing, praying, listening, are you just in awe and honouring God's name? Are we aware of that? And we definitely honour God's name by our attitude to his words. Do we focus when we're having sermons? Are we switched on? We want to be attentive, focused, and definitely obedient to what God's word says. It also means, by the way, preachers and teachers who come up here, we must only say what God himself has said. I think this is a challenge to our gathering together and our focus, our mentality when we gather together. Maybe you need to question your own hearts tonight that actually has gathering on a Sunday just become a normal thing? Or actually, this is precious because his name is precious. So that's how we gather in God's name. But thirdly, finally, living out God's name. This is the final way we honour God's name, is just how we live. God said to his people, Israel, Leviticus chapter 22, 31 to 33, keep my commands and follow them. I am the Lord. Do not profane my holy name, for I must be acknowledged as holy by the Israelites. I am holy. I am the Lord who made you holy, who brought you out of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord. From that verse, we see that God's name can be profaned, taken lightly, treated disrespectfully by disobedience. By disobedience. It says God is the one who's rescued them. He's the one that's changed them and made them holy. And that is to be shown by keeping his commands and following him. And so the idea is following God's laws and honouring God's name goes together. Living the life that Jesus wants you to live is honouring his name, isn't it? They go hand in hand. I remember primary school trips. It was a long time ago now, but I remember primary school trips. And perhaps there were other schools there as well. They were wearing their school uniform. We were wearing our school uniform with our blue jumpers. And perhaps on the way, one of the teachers would say, your behaviour today will reflect the school, meaning our bad behaviour will make the school look bad. And so it is, in a sense, with this. God's people bear God's name and our lives reflect him. Does your life reflect his precious name? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received, a life that live that reflects his name. And all seriousness, if we take what Jesus has done on the cross for us seriously, and I hope and pray that you do, then we need to take the life that we live for him just as seriously. All it shows, actually, if we have a take it or leave it attitude to God's commands, actually all that shows is you have a take it or leave it attitude to his salvation. And so this commands, I hope it's been helpful because I found it really practical. This is more than just don't swear, but it's all about our actions, our attitude to him as well, our attitude to God and the salvation he offers. Is this important to us? Is his name important to you? If it is, then you'd hate the thought of his name being taken lightly. And maybe you're convicted tonight because you know you failed this command. I'm sure all of us have. And so therefore we need to remember the order of the gospel here, don't we? It's what Jesus has done for us first. He obeyed this command where we failed. He always honoured God's name. He never took it lightly, and he obeyed it on your behalf. And so there's two things you need to do tonight as you run to him. Firstly, for forgiveness of sins. Then what we need to do, secondly, is ask God to help us live in a way that reflects his name. Seeing his name is precious because he is so precious. And the salvation we have in Jesus is so precious. Finally, when a woman gets married, obviously we saw Liam and Larry recently get married, and usually most of the time, she takes the husband's name. Larry did do that. She takes the husband's surname. But that wife is now to bear that name for the rest of her life, richer for poorer, sickness and in health. I guess the wife, she could drag that name through the mud, couldn't she, and completely ruin it. Or she could value it and lift the name up. That's the same with us now as believers. Because brothers and sisters, the incredible truth is that is the case. We do bear God's name. We are, after all, the bride of Christ. And as we come to him, sinful and bankrupt, in this marriage, he takes the times we've failed this command. In this marriage, he takes our sins and our debts on the cross. And then when he dies, all his righteousness and riches go to you. We have been drawn into his family, and you bear his name tonight. So let's bear his name with joy this week. Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen.